You're supposed to stop this at 8:30. Do you want to stop at 8:30, or do you want to, do you want us to take some questions? All those in favor of going to maybe 10 to 9? I can't see what's going on in the other buildings, but most of the hands are up with this one. Okay, we'll take a few questions, and we have other subjects we wanted to talk, but it's been, has this been helpful? Are we going to be helping you at all? I hope so. So let's have you bring some questions in.
Where are the microphones? All right, here's, there's a couple of rules with questions, okay? If you're called upon to ask a question, and if you're brave enough to ask one, we hope you are, remember that we'd like your question to be one that can be answered that can apply to all people here. If you have a personal issue, this is probably not the best place to ask that particular question. And the nice thing about Elder Ballard asking me to moderate these questions is I get to decide which are the hard and the easy questions, and who gets to answer them. All right, so brothers and sisters, don't be shy. If you have a question, let's have you ask us. Remember, our topic tonight is on how we can strengthen parents and grandparents in their roles with their children. Please. Okay, brother, tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is, and I'm in Mesa, Arizona, and I'm a little nervous right now, so.
Go ahead, happy to ask a question.
I really appreciated what Elder Ballard said at the beginning about being candid, and I hope to be faithfully candid with this question that I'm going to ask. We live in the information age. We live in an age where information is at our fingertips. Unfortunately, the temple endowment ceremony can be found on YouTube. You can go on the Family Search website and learn how Joseph Smith practiced polygamy, and sometimes with teenage girls. I, in my life, have had conversations with family members where they have been, they felt very hurt as they've learned some of these elements of church history. And Elder Robbins, you spoke about how our church history is our heritage, and it's our foundation.
Vaughn, you going to ask me a question too?
I am.
Okay.
So as, I'm sorry. With these people that feel hurt and betrayed, and then some have left the church, what can we do to fellowship these people? And what can we do to help our children as they face this information age and to prevent them from falling into the same type of predicament?
Okay, thank you.
Look. When you say that Joseph Smith was married and sealed to other women, it is true. We have no idea exactly what that relationship or what that means. Number two, anyone that starts to neglect, thinking about what I opened this conference up with, as to who we are, why we're here, and where it is we're trying to go. Once people start going over and getting their information and living on the blogosphere, they're over in Google territory, and they're then neglecting the standard works of the church, they will be pulled away from their membership in the kingdom of God. Now, I've had even my missionaries who have been, and they're mature, they're grown. I performed their sealings. I've had one, not a lot of them, one or two come in and say, I feel like I'm reading all this anti-Mormon literature, and I don't know, I'm confused. And I said, well, what are your questions? And he gave them to me. And I wrote them all down. I said, you go come back and in 3 weeks, and I'll answer every one of these questions. And as he was leaving my office, I said, both cases, Elder, how long has it been since you read from the Book of Mormon? His eyes dropped. He said, President, I haven't read from the Book of Mormon for a long time. I said, then I'm assigning you to read from the Book of Mormon for 1 hour every day between now and when you come back. And then I will answer your questions. You've given me an assignment, I'm going to give a new one. Will you take that challenge? He said, yes, sir, I will. Came back, both of them came back, sat down and said, President, I don't need the answers to those questions. I know Joseph Smith is a prophet. I know the Book of Mormon's true. Can you see how clever Lucifer is? If we don't give the Lord equal time in the process of spending time over here reading things, some of it is totally inaccurate. We'd never get anything from the membership of the church. These things that people are saying we have been hid, they've never been hidden. They've been out there all of the time. That's why we did those topical guides, those topical subjects that we put out for the whole church. I hope you've seen them. I hope you've read them. I hope you've read the one from Joseph Smith. I hope you've read the one on polygamy. I hope you've read the other ones we put out. The church is transparent, the church is moving forward, but the problem is when people get on the devil's side and start going for their information on the blogs and neglecting giving equal time for the Lord in the scriptures and in prayer, they will be drawn away from the church. We have to help them. We love everyone. We don't want to lose one member. So if you've got family members or others that are saying this or that about the brethren or this or that, I mean, I've sat and heard people say we're old and don't have any idea what's going on. Well, they're right. Some of us are old, but we know what is going on. And you heard that tonight, even from me, and I'm 88, and I'm wandering around and still trying to do this work. So, do you get it? So you go back to the plan of salvation. Is it true or isn't it? And where, I told you in the beginning you were going to die. Tell your friends, you know, you're going to die. Where are you going to go? They have to not, they get lost. They get lost in the chatter over here in the blogosphere and the technology side, and they forget the simple side that the brethren, when I say the brethren, I'm talking about general authorities, lead every general conference with the membership to stay anchored to the teachings of the gospel found in the standard works and the things that we are teaching you about the days we now live in. So that's what I would say, and if you want to send any of your relatives, send me a letter, I'll say to them exactly like I said to you, but why don't you just do it for me and send me a
Thank you, Elder Ballard. Brothers and sisters, as I've had the privilege in the last 15 months to sit amongst the prophets and apostles, I want to bear you my testimony that they are no strangers to these issues. We all have families, we have relatives, we have friends that are struggling with these very issues. And what you heard today, taught by Elder Ballard, is the mind and the will as expressed by the Quorum of the Twelve and the prophets and apostles of this church. I just happened to be looking at general conference addresses from the last conference. And I remind you that what Elder Ballard's topic was, to whom shall we go? It was to those who had struggled with the church, and he reminded us of those who had heard perhaps difficult teachings at the time of the Lord. And you remember his disciples, many of them left him. And the Savior asked, Peter, will you also go? Peter's response was, well, where would I go? Thou art the master. I also happen to remember what my talk was about at last conference. Lest thou forget, spoke about a friend who had a crisis of faith. It's interesting that after I gave that message, five of my former friends called me to say, was that me you were talking about? Had a good conversation with everyone. So brothers and sisters, no one asked Elder Ballard to speak about that topic at last October conference. No one asked me to speak about, lest thou forget, the spiritual experiences we have in our life. The Lord inspired his leaders what to speak on that is relevant and that is important in our day and our age. I bear you that testimony. Another question, please. Sisters? Any sisters? Ah, sister. Tell us your name and where you're from.
What advice would you have for those of us who are in blended families and have children that go to another parent's house who are not members?
Elder Robbins, would you help us please with that one?
To those that have blended families and where the children spend time in both homes and where the other home are non-members. Then when they are with you, of course, this is where they're going to probably be the only place where, except as they go to church with you, where they're going to be receiving the strength through scripture reading, prayer, and teaching them how to be self-reliant. So, just an insight into the way the one perfect parent is raising his children. One of the things. It's been said that the Holy Ghost is the greatest gift that mortal man can receive. Eternal life is the greatest gift that we can receive in eternity, but in the Holy Ghost is the greatest gift we can receive. That being true, the greatest thing that we as parents can do to our children is how to recognize the whisperings of the Holy Ghost. So that we teach them the art of spiritual fishing. We all know that it's, you can give a person a fish, but it's far more important to teach them how to fish. That very same principle applies to things spiritual. We can make a decision for a child, but it's far more important to teach them how to make decisions on their own, listening to the whisperings of the Holy Ghost. So that they're not always going to be with you. Not just with the other family where they're not members, but they're going to be out in the world where they have to have this spiritual self-reliance as well. So the more a parent can guide a child in making their own decisions to be spiritually self-reliant, the better. Quick story that I read in the church news some years ago. A father goes into his teenage son's room early one Sunday morning to awaken his son to get ready for church. It's clear that the boy had been out late Saturday night because when the father attempted to awaken him to get ready for church, the son said, I'm not going to church today. How would most parents, including Elia's parents, respond at that moment? Well, we have learned by sad experience that it is the nature and disposition of almost all parents. Many of us might respond with some force. The one perfect parent never forces his children. Never. His respect for our agency is complete. He may teach us the correct path. He may even command us to take the right path. Nevertheless, it is given thee, thou mayest choose for thyself. So this father, as I'm reading this, when the son said, I'm not going to church today, the father said, son, you don't need to give me that excuse because this is my church. But you ought to get down on your knees and give your father in heaven that excuse. And then the father just simply left the room, leaving his son at the crossroads with the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost can father our children a lot better than we can, if we will just trust in the Holy Ghost. But it's also a recognition of their agency. Well, within 2 or 3 minutes, this young man was up getting ready for church. But isn't that the same thing that our Father in Heaven did with his children in the premortal life? Leave them at the crossroads and risk them making an incorrect decision, which happened with 1/3 of them. But so strong is that recognition, that respect for the doctrine of agency. But our Father in Heaven doesn't leave us alone at the crossroads. He gives us the gift, the light of Christ, the gift of the Holy Ghost at age 8, but then we teach. We teach them the doctrines, we teach them the principles to help them become self-reliant when they are not with us, when they're with the other family, when they're at the crossroads and need to make a moral decision. So the more that we can respect that agency, teach them. I'd like to blend 2 quotes from 2 prophets. President Hinckley said, effective teaching is the very essence of leadership. Harold B. Lee said, the greatest work you'll ever do is within the walls of your own home. If you were to blend those two, we could come up with this combined principle. To effectively teach your children is the very essence of being a mom. So it shouldn't surprise us that this is the way the Book of Mormon begins. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught. So when they're with you, you just have to make sure you're teaching them the doctrines, the principles of the gospel. Recognize their agency, let them make their own decisions, sometimes leaving them at the crossroads like that father did, but trusting that the Holy Ghost will help them. Not easy, but it is one of the principles of being a perfect parent in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Okay, another question? Nothing from over here, brothers and sisters? Okay. Tell us your name, please.
I'm from Queen Creek, Arizona.
Okay, Brent.
I appreciate your counsel about missionaries. I have 4 sons and 1 daughter, and I'm currently serving as our ward's young woman president. I have a lot of laurels who are trying to make the decision between serving a mission and not serving a mission. I'm wondering to what extent do we encourage our young women to serve missions at the same time, recognizing that they do not have a priesthood duty like our young men, but also encouraging them and recognizing the great good that they can do out in the world.
Beautiful question. Thank you. Brother Costa? Now, did I hear you say you have a daughter serving a mission in San Francisco?
Oh, yes.
Don't you think you'd be perfect to answer
that? No, thank you. Well, of course. I think that the briefest answer to that is what the President Monson said. That's what we shared with my daughter. That is that the young men have the priesthood duty to serve missions. But for the sisters, it's an invitation. And the Holy Ghost will guide that decision. And that was our case with my dear Camila. And my wife served a mission when she was 21 years old. And even though we really wanted her to go on a mission, we just let her decide and do what the prophet said. Our oldest daughter did not serve a mission. Thank you.
Being a former mission president like Elder Ballard, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that we love to have your daughters serve missions. They raise up the spirituality of every mission, every zone, every district. And we just love the sisters that are making that decision and going out into the world to serve. And by the way, many are serving. It's a wonderful time for the young men and young women of the church. One more question, and then we're going to be finished. Last chance over here. Okay, sister. Last question.
Could you help me?
What's your name?
I'm sorry. Westing. Could you help me explain to a family member why a child with gay parents cannot be baptized if they have parental support?
Thank you. Well, I think the first thing we have to say to everyone is God loveth all of his children. And recognize that we are not trying to cause conflicts in families. Where parents have chosen to live one lifestyle and they want their children to pursue either an in-church lifestyle or an out-of-the-church lifestyle, we really want to be the domain of the parents. It's really a parents enforcing doctrine and principle. It has nothing to do with our concern about any negativity towards that baby or that child. It's that the parents are involved in the process of making decisions for that child. It's a principle that when it first came out from the first presidency, it was somewhat misunderstood. But it's a principle that's focused on keeping parents in the decision-making process of the children and not causing family disharmony or friction in that family. And I'd invite you, sister, to talk to your bishop, to talk to your home teachers, so that you can get a better understanding on that. There's been much published on LDS.org, in the newsroom, on our media website. And it's important that you understand the church's position on that, rather perhaps sometimes of what's been said just out in the blogosphere. Will you do that? Thank you very much.